Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the dewy-eyed Matthew Henry. How you doing, Matthew?
Dewy-eyed? Oh, yeah, thanks, dewy-eyed. Man. That sounds like a nice, you know, fun thing to say. I'm dewy-eyed.
It's definitely fun to say. And to somebody who's dewy-eyed, it definitely sounds nice.
Dewy-eyed, typing it into the old Googler.
Yeah, okay.
Looking at the definition, naively innocent and trusting. Optimist.
Yes, you are naively trusting and innocent. And you know why, Matthew?
Why?
Because you made a tweet today where all you did was state three facts. You wrote a sentence that was a fact. You wrote another sentence that was a fact. And then you wrote a sentence that was more like a mathematical formula, right? That is also a fact. And you wrongly assumed that Twitter would just agree with you, that all of these facts are true, therefore I'm going to agree with this statement. Instead, Twitter does what Twitter normally does and argue with you incessantly. And you tried to, like, argue with all of these other people to be like, no, but the fact is the fact. And they just weren't having it, Matthew.
No, they weren't
having it.
I got my wrist slapped on Twitter today by a bunch of people who feel like they know better. And so those of you who aren't on the Twitter, which, you know, kudos to you. It says I tweeted out. The Padres lost Blake Snell's first five starts in 2023, which is a fact.
Fact. Fact.
They missed the playoffs by two games. Also a fact.
Said fact.
No matter how good you pitch later, early games matter too. That was
also a fact.
Also a fact.
That was the tweet. That was it.
And boy, people came after me. Man, like, apparently Blake Snell is going to be a Cy Young award-winning pitcher this year. We just have to wait a month.
That's right.
And that's right. You know, he's still in his spring training, Ben.
Well, we're gonna talk about all of that.
I'm just saying this is all the things that people were telling me today, and I just wanted to point out the fact that these games matter too. But nobody seems to want to really, really, really agree with me on this. Except, you know who did agree with me?
Who's that?
Number one fan, Cole Kuiper.
Never heard of him.
Cole liked the tweet. And that was good enough for me because, you know, there is no bigger fan than Cole Kuiper. And you know, the thing is about Twitter, Ben, is that you and I are not pundits. We're not the ones that are digging into the stats and like telling everybody what everybody's OPS plus is and all this sort of stuff and why it all matters. We're fans. And I'm frustrated that our quote unquote ace is pitching like crap. And so, yeah, I don't know why I have to defend that on Twitter. I will talk about that. I can defend it on our podcast because there's nobody here to argue with me but you. And I don't know if you're going to argue too much with me about that. So we'll talk about that later. So I'll shut up now and let you finish the intro.
Okay. Before we get to all of that, though, I have a question for you that's slightly related.
Oh, okay.
Do you like to argue about baseball more than you like to watch baseball?
No. I don't like to argue about baseball at all. I like to argue with you, and sometimes it's about baseball, but I really just enjoy watching baseball, and I love so many things about watching baseball, but arguing isn't one of them.
Right. You like to watch baseball and you like to make your brother angry. Sometimes these two things overlap, and that is, but that's neither here nor there.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah.
The special sauce to the show. Anyway, today is Sunday, April 14th, as we record this podcast. Your San Francisco Giants went 1-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays to bring their weekly total to 2-4. Their season record is now at 6-10, and they're 4-6 in their last 10. They currently stand in fourth place in the NL West, but because it is early, they are only 4 games back behind the first place Dodgers. And it's way too early to really be thinking about this, but it's worth noting they are 3.5 back of the last wild card spot.
It's early, Ben, but may I point out it's 10% of the season.
10% of the season.
So if you extrapolate this out, by the end of the year, we'll be 40 games out.
You know what, Matthew? when I was in school, I knew that 10% of the work I just didn't have to do because I could still get an A if I aced all those other things. And did that work out for me often? I don't know that I would say often. Sometimes.
Yeah, enough times.
enough. enough. But definitely not always. Definitely not always. Yes. So anyway, it really feels like the San Francisco Giants are still kind of trying to put everything together. So today we're going to be talking about a couple of those areas where they're still putting everything all together. And the first one, I think, is the hottest topic, right? The biggest offseason signing I think that the Giants had was last year's reigning Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, who did lose the first 5 games he pitched for the Padres last season. And the Padres did miss the playoffs by 2 games, which means if Blake had won 2 of those games, they would have tied for the last playoff spot. But he didn't, and they didn't. And so that brings us to, an important question of what should we be making of Blake Snell now after these first 2 losses, and where do we go from here? After that, we're going to be talking about the Giants' offense because, Matthew,
yes,
I don't know if you know this, but they hit a home run.
They hit
a home run. Now, they haven't hit one in San Francisco in like a year, but they did hit one in Tampa Bay. They hit 5 in a game. Tyro Estrada had 2 of them. So, breaking news, Giants hit home runs. They also scored a bunch of runs with runners in scoring position. That was on Saturday, but on Friday, they went 0-10 with runners in scoring position. So, the question that we're going to be asking is, what is the Giants' offense exactly? What should we expect to see the rest of the season? And we don't really know what we're going to talk about after that. Honestly, we'll probably run out of time. But I'm just going to throw something out there. I'm going to say, maybe we'll talk about the front part of the bullpen because I don't know that that's been settled either.
Mm.
We know that they like to send Kaiwei Tang out there to pitch the meaningless innings.
Yes.
And just get hit around. But what happens when we need Kaiwei Tang to pitch in a meaningful game? Maybe we'll get to that. But before we find out, Matthew, you have to ask us the trivia question.
Yes, and as you mentioned, the Giants finally hit some home runs, and they had gone 8 consecutive games, I think it was, between hitting home runs, which was one of their longest streaks in club history, and I think the longest streak in the last 10 years. But the question today is, what is the Giants' all-time record for consecutive games without a home run?
All time since the live ball era, I'm assuming you mean.
I don't even know when the live ball era started, but sure.
1920, Matthew. 1920.
Okay. All right, you had to look that up too, so don't act like you know all that.
No, like this is everybody knows that. This is common knowledge.
Okay,
this is why you're Dewey-eyed.
Sure, since the live ball era. Okay, let's just say that.
All right, I'm going with 37 games.
Wow.
There were some bad teams in the 70s.
There were. Johnny Lemaster, Dwayne Kuiper.
Whoa. Dwayne played for the Giants in the 80s only.
Okay. All right. Well.
But anyway, that's my answer. 37 games.
Okay. All right. We'll see if Ben is right or wrong at the end of the episode.
For those of you who think I'm negative, I'm talking about the 1970s Giants here. I'm not talking about our Giants. Giants are far cry from 37.
And there's no dispute in how bad the Giants were in the 70s and even early 80s. All right.
Enough with the banter. Let's talk cocktails.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob, for keeping us on track.
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Well, Bob, I am, what was it, dewy-eyed? I thought I'd pull a drink that I've been working on out of the archives that I had apparently called a giant hit. That was the name of the cocktail. Is it a giant hit? You be the judge. What's in it? It's got 1.5 ounces of rye whiskey, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, 1/2 ounce of cherry hearing, 1/4 ounce of rich Demerara syrup, 2 dashes of chocolate bitters, 1 dash of cherry bitters, and a brandied cherry for garnish. You're going to put all the ingredients except the garnish into a mixing glass with ice. Give it a good stir for about 30 seconds. Drain it into a Nick and Nora glass and garnish it with that cherry. And what you get is a boozy, sweet drink that has hints of chocolate in it with a cherry finish. And that's what I'm drinking today, Bob. A giant hit.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
I think for some, it'll be tasty. I don't think it's for everyone. I am enjoying it, though.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Oh, thank you for asking, Bob. That's very kind of you. Know, today, Bob, I had a long, hard day in the library dungeon. And as a result of that, I got out of my Dungeons & Dragons session a little later than usual, and I just didn't have time to make a cocktail. So I was going to bring a ringer. I was going to cheat. But then Matthew tweeted me. He texted me, and he said, I'm making my cocktail. I'm running behind. And so I thought, oh, I have a chance to throw something together. So that's what I did, Bob. I created a cocktail that is 1 ounce Galliano, 1 ounce white rum, and 1 ounce white port. You combine all of the ingredients in a shaker with ice, and you shake it until chilled, and then you strain it into a Nick and Nora glass. And you'll notice that I didn't name it because I'm calling it the Nevermind. Because it's not good. You know, they can't all be winners, Bob. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to lie. That cocktail sucked.
Well, you don't have to say that twice. So I'm going to my backup, a cocktail in a can.
Oh. Which one is that?
It's Jack Daniels and Coke Zero. Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
When you're too lazy to actually combine Coke Zero and Jack Daniels, you gotta just go buy the can.
That's right. You know what? I can't be seen buying Jack Daniels at the store. I love Jack Daniels, though. I really do. Yeah, so that's what I'm drinking. It'll get the job done. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of getting the job done.
Yeah.
So let me explain as we get into the Blake Snell discussion my thoughts on this tweet that I put out there today and some of the back and forth that I had with some of the people that vehemently opposed my stance on early games mattering. Because their point was that Blake Snell was still in his spring training mode, that he was still in spring training.
Right.
The problem with that, Ben, is that the Giants are not in spring training anymore.
Yeah.
And then there was the, people keep bringing up that he was, after his first 5 games last year, he was lights out, which is true, but he did that with a spring training. And so I just, and then you look at his overall record, Ben, and he's got two really great seasons. And then he's got six slightly above average seasons. And so my point was, and I may have said something, you know, out of, as a fan, I said, you know, we could have just put in Wisenhunt or Black in there and gotten these results, which so far we could have. Like, I don't think that Wisenhunt or Black would have been worse than what we've seen from Blake Snell.
Keaton
so
Wynn
far.
Is pitching better than Blake Snell.
Correct. So I don't know if I'm that far off on that. I'm just, as a fan, I am frustrated that we have signed an ace, because that's what we did. We signed a guy for ace money. I know it's only for a year, maybe. Well, at this rate, maybe 2 years. But I am frustrated because he is not pitching like an ace. And I don't entirely see how we can like blindly accept the fact that he's going to turn things around.
Okay. Well, so the first thing I would say is that, you know, he has only had two spring training games. So where those people are saying, like, you know, we should be cutting him slack because it's going to take him longer to ramp up, then, you know, I get where they're coming from. I get where they're coming from. But yes, the problem is that he's having these quote unquote spring training games during the regular season for the San Francisco Giants. So unlike spring training, where those games don't matter, these games do matter. And they are absolutely impacting the Giants' chances to make the playoffs, without a doubt. I think, though, that whenever we ask this question, and this is probably what all these other fans were thinking, is that, you know, once the games are played and lost, there's nothing that we can do about those lost games. So we can't throw away the remaining, 30 starts that he's going to make this season and assume that they're all going to be bad. And, you know, I would agree with that. I would agree that we can't just assume that they're all going to be bad. But I also agree with you that that doesn't mean that we can't be frustrated with the way that this guy who was supposed to be an ace has been performing for the last two games. This is somebody that we're supposed to be excited about. This is somebody that we were supposed to rally around and was supposed to be one of the guys that was going to push us above the realm of mediocrity. And right now, when this team is already struggling, and then the starting rotation finally starts turning it around, he's the rough spot in the rotation, and that's just a really big letdown. It's a big letdown. And this is a fan podcast. We're not supposed to be here to tell you all like how it's going to be fixed or when it's going to be fixed or why it won't be fixed. We're here to voice our joy and frustrations at the way that the team is performing. And sometimes we might say insightful things, but folks, that's just dumb luck.
Well, I think we're educated fans, but we're still fans. And Blake Snell was signed to be an ace. And he's not pitching like one. And people keep saying, oh, he hasn't had spring training. Well, that's his fault. He chose not to have a spring training. So we're the ones now that are getting punished for that. And we're supposed to be okay with it? Like, oh, we'll just let him find his way while we're stumbling to a 6-10 record? No, every start counts. Every start counts right now. We're already four games under 500. And in order to get back into contention, we're going to need quality starts. And right now, Blake Snell's still trying to find his way. And it didn't have to be that way, I guess, is my thought. And maybe if he had signed earlier, it wouldn't have been with the Giants. But then you know who would have been in our rotation right now? It would have been Carson Wisenhunt or Mason Black. And I feel like we wouldn't be in a much different spot, but we'd be finding out about the young guys. And so that wouldn't have necessarily been a bad thing. I'm kind of torn because I think that on one hand, the Giants absolutely did the right thing by going out and signing Blake Snell because he was available and he was coming off a great season. And you want as many of those good players as you can on your team. But it's not working out so far. And I think we have every right to be frustrated with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the problem is that we do need to start asking ourselves, like, when is it going to turn around? How much of this do the Giants have to bear? And you know, I want to read to you, like, everybody's like, oh, he's absolutely going to turn it around. He's going to be an ace. Well, there was this guy in 2022, Matthew, who had an ERA plus of 137. A National League ERA of 2.88. His fielding independent pitching was 2.25, which led the league. He struck out 12 per inning. He was an all-star, and he was sixth in the Cy Young voting. The next season, that guy, after he signed a massively huge contract, his ERA plus was 63. His fielding independent pitching was 5.79. His strikeouts per nine dropped down to 9. And Yankees fans wanted to kill him. That's none other than our old friend Carlos Rodon. So there's a guy who was an ace, a sure thing, you know, who had a track record of both mediocrity and success, and came back and had possibly his worst season ever. Now, a big part of that was because he got hurt. And I'm not saying that Blake Snell is hurt. But what I'm saying is that when you have guys with these sort of up and down track records, there's no guarantee that their next season is going to be amazing. And I think that is something that we as Giants fans do need to start to be concerned about, is like, when is the real Blake Snell going to show up? And are we already seeing the real Blake Snell? And is 2 games enough? Everybody's like, no, it's not. Well, yeah, I get that. I get that. 2 games probably isn't enough. But unfortunately, these games matter. And I think that ultimately is the point of that original tweet that you made, which is like, these games matter. And so it is upsetting and disappointing for us as fans to watch us lose them. It is not, and especially lose them in totally uncompetitive ways. Right? Just absolutely just non-winnable games. And that's really upsetting. Right?
Right.
And I don't know that, like, the tweet, you know, I understand that your follow-up was that we could be doing better with, or equally well with, the young guys. And don't get me wrong, because I talked about that all during spring training, right? Like, before Snell was signed, like, I was on board. I'm on board with letting the young guys go. And it's hard to believe that they could be doing any worse than this.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
and so, you know, and at the very least, you would be watching that and you'd be like, oh, yeah, no, Mason Black is or isn't ready. Carson Wisenhunt is or isn't ready. And so I do think these games absolutely do matter. I think it is definitely okay for fans to be concerned about them, while also recognizing that, yeah, there's still a long way to go. But at the same time, like, you know, like, the Ben in me wants to say Blake Snell's got to, he's got to put it together fast, right? It's not okay that he's getting blown out and is being uncompetitive in these games, right? Maybe it's understandable, but it's not okay. And as a fan, like, I want him to fix it. And the main person who's going to fix it is Blake Snell. And, like, fix it now.
Right.
And that's, you know, because I'm an irrational, unempathetic fan, which is my right. That's basically what fan means. I'm crazy. I'm drinking a canned cocktail.
Oh, man. So, yeah. And I know that, you know, win and loss records and all that are, you know, not how we're supposed to judge a pitcher nowadays. There are far more advanced statistics than that. But the fact remains, if you take away his 2 Cy Young award seasons, he's got a losing record as a starter. And so I don't see how people can with all certainty tell me that they are certain he's going to have a great season this year. Like, I just don't. I hope he does. And sure, he could, because he has, but he's also had some very average to poor seasons. And so I just don't see how people could just be so confident in this. And so I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that Blake Snell turns it around. The Giants, you know, he goes 21 starts or whatever it was, 25 starts, you know, with a 1.2 ERA or whatever, and wins the Cy Young Award again. I hope he does that. I just don't. His record suggests that he won't, and it's frustrating that he's pitching like that right now, especially when they need him to step it up.
Right. Well, let me put on my positive hat from spring training to see if I can kind of, like, feel a way through this.
Okay.
Okay. No, I can't do it.
You lost that hat? You can't find it?
I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm looking at it. You know, you're like, I know that wins and losses don't matter. And I did see, like, some people were saying, like, oh, wins and losses are not an important measure of a pitcher's performance. And I'm just like, okay, but that's the most important measure for a baseball team. Right, that's the most important stat is winning and losing, but how about a 9 ERA? How about a 1.667 WHIP? You know, how about a strikeout a walk rate of 6 per 9, which would be the worst of your career? Are any of those stats that matter? Because those are all true too. Right, those are all true too. Okay, that's negative Ben, but positive Ben, you know, would say, Matthew, we need him to turn it around. And he absolutely can pitch that way. And so there is no reason that we should believe he won't. Right? Especially since it is early. Come back to me in, you know, another month, and maybe it's time to, start pulling the panic button. But here's the thing, you know, like, I just don't see how Blake Snell doesn't make 35 starts this, or, 30, you know, 30 starts this season, regardless of how he does.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be like, unless he gets some, you know, quote unquote phantom injury. I don't see, they're not going to sit him. They're not going to. Yeah, he's in there. I mean, they're going to keep rolling him out.
Okay, there it is. It's way too early to be talking about sitting Blake Snell, and that I will stand on.
Absolutely, I agree.
I found common ground with the angry people on Twitter who don't want to acknowledge facts. It's way too early to be sitting Blake Snell. He's going to turn it around. He's going to, next game, Matthew, he's going to pitch 5 innings and only give up 3 or less runs. Quality start, next start for Blake Snell. I'm calling it right now.
Okay, and okay, all right. And I just want to go on record as saying that, you know, we have a terrible April, and let's say we finish April, I don't know, we're already, let's say we finish 5 or 6 games under 500, and then we finish the season, I don't know, 2 games out of a wild card spot, right? We're going to look back on April. We're going to look back on April and be like, wow, we could have done better in April. And so you can't tell me that right now these games aren't important. Because all 162 games are important and they have more context later in the season, but they're still important now. And so I don't see how people can be so blasé about how bad the Giants are playing in some respects, because it's quote unquote early. It's we're 10% into the season and things aren't looking great. And we expected more. And so, I mean, I think most fans would agree after the offseason we had that we expected more and we're not getting it. And by golly, we should be upset about that. I think it's okay to be annoyed and frustrated and upset about how the Giants are playing, including Mr., you know, Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell.
I think especially him. Because here's the thing. You know who I don't blame right now?
Who?
And this is going to shock you.
Farhan?
I don't blame Farhan.
Well, how
now,
could
don't
you?
Get me wrong.
Farhan did what he was supposed to do.
Right, right. I blame Farhan for the previous years.
Sure.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I blame him for the previous years, and I also blame him for, like, whatever state the farm system is in right now. Right? He is responsible for all of that. But for this offseason, he did everything that he needed to do to make this roster more exciting and to improve it in a significant way. And we said this during the preseason, which is it is now the time for the players to step up and perform. And you especially expect that out of your absolute best. Like, you know, I think it's kind of time to stop talking about, like, oh, we're still finding our way and we're starting to get our feet underneath us. You know, it's way past time to get your feet underneath you. However, you know, the starting rotation, Matthew, Blake Snell is only 1/5 of it. And at the beginning of this season, we were getting some sort of up and down performances out of our other 4 starting pitchers. But I do have to say, up until Blake Snell's start, it looked like the starting 5 was really starting to turn things around. And the bullpen itself included. Right? Like, the Giants had really 3 great games or 4 great games in a row where they gave up very few runs, pitched extremely well, and really started to look like they were trying to, you know, starting to find their feet underneath them. Keaton Wynn had a great start. Logan Webb looked like Logan Webb, Cy Young contender. You know, Kyle Harrison had a decent start in his last outing. And so it really does look like finally the rest of the rotation is starting to settle in. And so, you know, on the other hand, you know, even though Blake Snell might not be performing, like, you know, sometimes your number five guy pitches like he's your number one. So your number one or number two can pitch like the number five.
Agreed. Yeah. No, I think we're very fortunate that the other pitchers are starting to come around. I mean, Jordan Hicks and Logan Webb especially. And yeah, and to your point, even Keaton Wynn is looking great. So I think by most accounts, we should be thankful that the starting rotation looks like they're starting to settle in and do a good job. So in that respect, it does, you know, temper the angst, I think, a little bit. But our offense is not performing at a level, I think, where we can get away with some really bad starts like we did today. And maybe that's a good segue into talking about the offense, because this weekend against the Rays, I think, was maybe a microcosm of our season.
Yeah.
You know, we had Friday, which was just you're coming off of Wednesday's game where we scored a bunch of runs and you're thinking, OK, maybe they finally turn the corner. And then we go up against some guy that leads the league in walks or leads the world in walks. And they don't draw any walks, and they don't get any hits, and they don't score any runs. And then on Saturday, they explode, and there's home runs everywhere, and it's great, and that's fun. And we're thinking, oh, great, they finally turned the corner. And then Sunday was average at best, right? And so I guess it just got me thinking, like, what is our offense going to look like? What is our offense? What can we expect out of it? Especially after looking at these three games.
You're saying, like, are these, which of these three games represents the Giants offense?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got an answer to that.
Okay. What's the answer?
Yes.
Agreed. That's a good answer. I like that analysis because I think it's valid, right? I mean, we're going to see all of the above, I think, is probably what you meant by that. And yeah. I agree, because that's kind of been our season to date, right? And that's going to be frustrating as heck.
It's going to be super frustrating. Like, I think especially when you go back to the performances, when you add in the performances from the National Series, it really just looks like up and down, up and down. And, you know, like, what was interesting about Saturday was that a couple of things happened. Number one, guys who were not hitting well overall started hitting the ball. And then also you had a couple of guys who just had sort of been getting all their results when runners weren't in scoring position. And both of those combined to a very large run output, right, of 11 runs. But then, of course, you had that the inverse of that on Friday. And then on Sunday, you have a performance where they're 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, where if you extrapolate that out into the long run, you're like, okay, I'll take 2-for-7. And they score 4 runs, right? And 4 runs is kind of like that. It's the gray area of runs, right? Like, yeah. You should expect, if you have a good pitching staff, then you should expect to win most of your 4-run games. But if you don't have an above average pitching staff, you should probably expect to lose most of your 4-run games. And the fact of the matter is, the Giants are supposed to be a pitching and defense team, so 4 runs should be enough. But the problem is that the Giants don't do that a lot, right? Like, they score 4 runs, you know, about half the time. And then they score a lot of runs about a third of the time. They score a lot of runs about a third of the time, and they score very few runs about a third of the time. And the real question is, like, how many times are you going to get average or better? Because that's what you need to do for this team to win. And I think with this lineup, it's going to be kind of I mean, I know nobody wants to hear this, but it's going to kind of come down to luck, I think.
It could be. It could. And just to put some numbers behind that, right now the Giants are averaging, before Sunday's game, we're averaging 4.33 games, or runs per game, I should say. So 4.33 runs per game. The league average is 4.57, so about 4.5. So we're slightly under average in runs scored. The problem is, as you say, we're a team that's supposed to be built on pitching and defense, is that we've allowed 4.8 runs per game. And so we're certainly, so that would explain our below 500 record. But the offense, though, is where, because I think the pitching, you know, as we talked about, we've already talked about that. But I think the offense, 4.33 runs per game, certainly not where it needs to be. But I don't know. Maybe if we're hovering around average, that's where it's going to be, right? I mean, 4.5 runs per game is average. We could maybe get a little bit more going here, but I feel like this is probably the team that we're going to see. You know, we're going to see some power every now and then. We're going to see some runs scored every now and then, and we're going to see some absolutely dismal performances every now and then. And so 4.5 runs per game is going to have to get it done. There's nobody in the minors. I mean, people keep talking about Luis Matos and all that. He's hitting like a 220 in AAA, right? So he's not the savior that everyone is, or that many are hoping for. There's no one coming to save the Giants offensively. The team has to do it from within. And this is it. I think, you know, 4.5 runs per game is probably what we can expect.
I mean, it's interesting that we say that, because we've spent this whole time like complaining about Blake Snell. That really is where the Giants have the most depth, and they have some really exciting guys who might be able to come in and save the day. Nobody's going to save the day for Blake Snell, right? We're going to see 30 starts from him, assuming he's healthy. But, like, let's say he isn't healthy or somebody else gets hurt, right? We can actually, I don't know that we can expect it, but we shouldn't be surprised if two or three of these guys that they call up to replace an injured guy or somebody who's, you know, somebody falls off a cliff statistically. We shouldn't be surprised if some kid that they call up, you know, comes up and starts to establish himself as a quality major leaguer or even better, right? Like, you know, we have so many names like Birdsong and Wisenhunt and Black, you know, and add a bunch more. Nobody should be surprised if one of those guys comes up and saves the day. But I think you're right. Like, on offense, this is the lineup that we have. Like, there really is no one to come save us. Like, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Matos get an opportunity to play every day, or at least, you know, be on the major league roster and you know, play, you know, get at bats here and there, but like be on the bench, but be on the major league roster. But there's nothing that, like, I don't look at Luis Matos and say he's a surefire savior, right? This isn't Jackson Holliday, right? This isn't Jackson Merrill. This isn't Jackson. Wait, how many? Are they all named Jackson? Is that the problem?
We need more Jacksons in our lineup.
Side note, should we be drafting more Jacksons?
We should. And Corbins. Corbins and Jacksons.
Those should
be the only ones that we draft from now
on. Yeah, but nobody with the last name Corbin.
No, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, we need more Jacksons. And, you know, and there just aren't any. There aren't any. Side note, I secretly fantasize that Bryce Eldridge will be that guy.
Mm.
You know, he's going to be on the major league roster next year, Matthew.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Rookie of the year, you know, at 21, 20 or 21, whatever he'll be. Yeah. I think it'll be his 20 year. Yeah. So anyway, but we don't have that now is the point. And the problem is that if you do go bring one of those guys up, you have to DFA somebody.
Right.
You know, and it is interesting though, because I fall into this trap too, Matthew. Like, as frustrating as this team has been, and as much as I like some of these players, you know, like I don't remember what game it was, but it was either yesterday or Friday. I think it was yesterday. When Yaz came up limping from making a play, and I sent you a hilarious text message through Siri where I tried to say, Yaz is limping. And listeners, I'm going to admit to you, like, I was excited. I like Yaz.
But a reason to sit him, right?
That's but I was thinking it was like a reason, well, a reason to put him on the IL.
Right, right.
And call up Matos, and then maybe Matos gets a little bit of a, you know, a little just of a tryout. How are you doing now, Luis? Kind of situation. And I was really excited, you know? And so, you know, I get it. I hear where the fans are coming from. But the problem is that, like, if you cut bait on these guys right now, and then Matos or Ramos comes up and doesn't perform, then what are your options after that? Brandon Belt. That's your option after that. Okay, did I get your attention, Giants listener? That's what happens if Luis Matos comes up and doesn't work out. The next option is Brandon Belt. Or players like him. That's players who aren't signed with anybody right now. And so it is a little bit aggressive and a little bit early in the season to be making those kinds of changes. And then as for like Ahmed and Luciano, like, I mean, that's the problem with Luciano is like, he's going to replace Ahmed. And Ahmed, first of all, isn't the problem offensively.
No, right? He's actually one of our better hitters at this point.
Right, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean,
there's not an indication of how bad things are going.
I mean, and also how well that Ahmed has been hitting.
Yeah, yeah. He's been hitting above what we should expect him to do. But the real thing about him is his defense. And I know the eye test. You know, I know it, like every ball looks like it's not going to quite make it to poor Lamont Wade. You know, and Lamont Wade Jr. looks a little bit uncomfortable taking all of his throws. I get it. But they're getting there. They're getting there, and he's making the plays. And his outs above average, he's the best on the Giants right now. He's the best defender that the Giants have right now. And that includes Patrick Bailey and Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to bring up Luciano to replace that unless Luciano's going to, you know, hit the lights out. And there's no reason we should expect that Luciano is going to come up and hit the lights out. And then what are you going to do? You send down Fitzgerald, who, by the way, is also one of your better hitters. If we're complaining, we should complain about the fact that Fitzgerald isn't playing more. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, Fitzgerald leads the team in batting average at 375.
Right. After having an 0-for-3 and then not playing for a huge amount of time.
Correct. Yeah.
I do think it is interesting that he hasn't played more. Right. He had that one game where he played really well and then he didn't play for 2 days or he didn't start for 2 days. You know, I said on the Wednesday show that he should start the Thursday show that he should start in the next game. He didn't.
You know, I was thinking just now, too, what we haven't learned yet through 15 games is who are the backups like at third and second. Matt Chapman and Tyro Estrada have played every game. And
every inning.
Yeah. So we haven't seen I'm assuming it would be Wilmer Flores spelling Matt Chapman at third, but we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen, I'm assuming, Tyler Fitzgerald maybe playing second base, but we haven't seen that yet, which is real indicative to where I think that Bob Melvin's a little afraid to kind of dip into that. He's not entirely confident, I think, in that.
That lineup is a really interesting question because I was assuming that he was just going with Chapman and Estrada because they were struggling at the plate. And that he was the kind of manager who was like, these are my guys. Like, this is my starting third baseman and this is my starting second baseman. And if they don't hit, then we're in real trouble. So I got to just let them work through it. And that's why I'm putting them out there every single inning for every single game. But it is interesting that you say that because maybe he does feel like he doesn't have a backup third baseman and he doesn't have a backup second baseman. Because I think the leading answer in both of those situations is Fitzgerald. And this was a guy who was hitting well enough that he should have been stuck in whatever position you most feel comfortable with him to play. And then you didn't do that.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting question. Who is our backup second baseman? Who is our backup third baseman? Are they both Tyler Fitzgerald?
Well, and maybe as Tyler Fitzgerald gets more playing time and Melvin maybe builds a little bit more confidence in him, We'll see the answer to that. I just, and I don't know if it's early and maybe they don't need a break that early in the season, but at some point you can't, you know, neither of these guys are going to play 162. And so you're going to need to give these guys a break, and we haven't seen that yet. So, and maybe that'll come up in the Miami, series with Miami.
Well, it's going to have to eventually. They can't play every inning.
Correct.
They can't play every inning. So it has to come up. But it is interesting to me also because, like, one of the guys that I would expect you to put there is Wilmer Flores, especially at third base.
Yeah,
you know, I know that you are probably more accepting of him playing second base than I am. Like, I don't want to see Wilmer play second base ever again. you believe otherwise, but I think even though, you know, like, you could find a way to get him in and maybe move other guys around. And that surprises me too, because Wilmer is one of your better hitters. Right?
Right.
And so far it feels like Melvin is treating him as a bench player. Like, well, he's bench player who gets a lot of at bats, but he's a bench player.
You know? I mean, he has 30 at bats through Saturday, and which is more than like Slater, but only slightly more than Yastrzemski, who missed a few games, and actually he has fewer at bats than Patrick Bailey, who sits out every few games. So, there's certainly more opportunities for Wilmer Flores, or should be anyway, because based on last year and even this year, I mean, he's been one of our better hitters. So I feel like that's going to be, and we mentioned this last week, I think Soler's signing really complicated Wilmer Flores' playing time. And if Bob Melvin doesn't have trust in him to play defense, then you're really basically have two DHs or a halftime first baseman in Flores, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting, right? That you have a halftime first baseman who can also DH as one of your bench players, and you won't play him anywhere else. And that's the roster you were given, and so you're playing it to what you are most comfortable with. And it's a little bit different than it was in the Kapler era, right? Yeah. Where I think it was more like the roster I felt like was... Like, I always got the sense with Kapler why it was like, yeah, this is exactly how I would do the roster too. And right. I know how to play this roster.
Exactly. I mean, it was set up for platoons in some positions, and you just knew that those were going to be platoons. And now you're not so sure when Flores is going to start. And on some respects, you pretty much know what the lineup's going to be. You know who's going to be in the lineup every day. And I guess that's a difference, and that's could be a good thing. But when it comes to Wilmer Flores, it certainly hurt him, I think.
Right. Well, I do want to talk quickly about Kaiwei Tang and Eric Miller.
Oh,
but before,
okay.
I do want to call out Tyro Estrada, because I think we mentioned on the last show that like he needs to turn things around. If he doesn't turn things around, then this lineup is going to be way worse than we thought it was going to be.
Right.
Right. And it's not even like he needs to be great, but he needs to be average, you know, and he was well below that. And it was nice to see him have that huge game with the two home runs and all of that, and then also followed up with another hit today, on Sunday.
Well, suddenly, in his last seven games, he's batting .348.
Right, right. And it's because, I mean, he said like on the show, like on the after game show, that he wasn't really changing his approach. He was just looking for his pitch to hit. But it certainly seems like his idea of what his pitch to hit changed. Because instead of being a slider that was tremendously outside and nobody could hit, he's decided that's not a pitch that he wants to swing at. And so, you know, something like, you know, maybe his approach didn't change, but his idea of what a good pitch was changed. And that can only be for the better. So I hope that turns into a trend, because that is certainly going to give us a more consistent offense that is going to be on the 4 and 7 run side than the 1 run side.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know I'm kind of springing on this on you, and like I don't think we prepared for it in any way, but I did want to briefly talk about Kaiwei Tang and Eric Miller, because at the beginning of the season, remember way back then, Matthew?
Vaguely.
It seemed pretty clear that like that portion of the bullpen was totally unsettled, right? You know, this was way back when Joey Bart was a Giant, who, by the way... of all the 13 position players that the Giants called up, he might be having the second best season. After Conforto. For those of you who don't know, don't go look at Joey Bart's stats as a Pittsburgh Pirate. He's played in three games. He's got two homers. It's early, Matthew. It's early. Blake Snell's going to win the Cy Young Award, and Joey Bart's going to be the worst catcher to ever hit. That's how things are going to end up. But anyway, Kai-Wei Tang and Eric Miller. How are we feeling about them?
I think they're fine, but I'm hoping that we don't have to rely on them for the season.
I see. Yeah.
I think Eric Miller is, I mean, he's been better. At times I think he's been good. Kai-Wei Ting just seems to be the guy they throw out there when they need innings.
Yeah. He's the innings eater. He's the guy who's like, who goes out there and gets beaten up.
And he's learning. You know, he gives up the long ball. He's gotten helped out by defense a little bit. I think Jung Hoo Lee was his favorite player today. Yeah. But I actually feel like Kai-Wei Tang could be one of those DFA candidates when the 40 man gets tight.
Gets tight, really. Yeah, I guess you're saying he's getting his opportunity now.
Yes.
Right. And then Eric Miller threw a, I think the gun at Tampa Bay is a little fast. Especially the way that pitcher for the Rays was throwing on Saturday. Who, by the way, just as an aside, was clearly trying to trick the Giants hitters. And I got a feeling that in the ninth, they were like a little bit less like, this is fun and we're just going to swing the bat with him. Because he was being a little cute with his Ephus pitches and his 85 mile fastball. But anyway, I feel like the gun might be a little faster, but Eric Miller did throw 197 miles an hour. And a left-hander that throws 97 miles an hour is pretty impressive.
Well, you look at his stats. He's got seven innings pitched. He's given up three hits.
Yeah.
And five walks. So walks maybe, but 10 strikeouts. So 2-1 strikeout to walk ratio. His whip is 1.14. He gave up the one big home run. He hasn't been bad. I think small sample size, he's been better than I thought. And I could see him being someone that matures through the season and could be a guy that they keep. Having said that, I don't think there's going to be room for him at some point. But he's a left-hander, and they need two left-handers in the bullpen at least. And so right now, I think he's doing fine. Kai-Wei Tang, though, is the guy that I feel like he's just there because they need someone.
Okay, and now Nick Avila.
Oh, yeah, him.
Oh, poor Nick.
I know. When he first started coming, his first appearance, and I you can't judge a pitcher by their first appearance because there must be so much nerves going on. And he just wanted to throw strikes and it looked like batting practice to me. I mean, he did not look very comfortable, but he's kind of settled in. He's young. I just don't see him being a guy that the Giants can rely on.
I think he's just a little too hittable. And I think over the long term that will just start to add up. His last appearance, he looked like he had a good start to it, but then the guys started to collect on the base and they had to get Taylor Rogers up, and it was just sort of like, really we're gonna let the back end of our bullpen start warming up because the front end of our bullpen can't just carry through a blowout, right? Because he was getting into like grand slam territory, and you know, suddenly a 8-1 or 7-1 lead or whatever it is turns into a 7-4 or 7-5 lead. Just like it's not cool.
No,
not cool. Right. But yeah, I of those three, I'm like Eric Miller looks like the real deal to me. I think Kai-Wei Tang is an innings eater, and Nick Avila is a placeholder, but. You know.
Right, but I think there's so when Cobb comes back, then maybe Keaton Wynn takes over for Kai-Wei Tang or Nick Avila, whichever one. But at some point, I don't think all three of those guys you brought up are candidates for improvement in the bullpen. But there isn't really anybody that's on the 40 man that's going to come in and take that spot, I don't think. So it's going to be interesting to see which one of those gets DFA'd, because somebody's going to get DFA'd.
Right. And the good news is that most of the starting pitching, you know, Snell aside, has settled down to the point where we don't need to go to the bullpen super early all the time.
Right.
And then the rest of the, and then the back five, you know, are looking very, very good.
Haven't got a lot of opportunities, but yeah, they've,
I mean, yeah, I do worry. We are running up against the end of the show, but I do worry about Camilo Duvall. Like,
ooh,
you know, yeah, exactly. They're either winning by a ton or losing. And it's sort of like, you know, he's not pitching at all. Like
he's thrown two and two thirds innings on this season. Two and two thirds innings.
Yeah. That's a prime setup for him to get blown out in his next appearance. Right. It's just like,
Tyler Fitzgerald has thrown almost as many innings as Camilo Duvall.
Jeez. So that's... Well, so, I mean, you know, like we do need to wrap the show up, but I mean, my feeling right now is that this team is still in spring training mode.
Still finding itself.
And it's like, this is way too late in the season to be finding yourself in so many different places. I will say this. It does feel like things are getting better, right? Like the rotation has settled down with the exception of Snell. The bullpen has settled down. They've gotten past all of that weird pitching issues that they put themselves into with the whole Joey Bart saga. And the lineup looks like it's starting to, you know, the one big adjustment that they made, it seems like they're swinging at that first ball, fastball strike.
Yeah, you started to see that this series a little bit more. Yeah,
so they're not letting them steal that strike.
Lee let off the game today with the first pitch fastball. He swung at it and hit it. So I hope that becomes a trend because I think the other teams were picking up on that they could sneak a fastball by them.
I think
them
they've been picking that up for a week. I think that's what we saw when we went to the game on Saturday a week ago was they were sneaking that fastball in for a strike. So I'm glad to see that turnaround, but it still remains a work in progress. The biggest piece being Blake Snell.
All right. Well, as you said, we're up against the hour time, I think, to answer today's trivia question, which was, what is the all-time record for consecutive games without a home run? And the all-time record, the franchise record, goes back to 1922.
That's right.
When the New York Giants, which was, I guess, technically, according to you, the live ball era.
Yeah, live ball era started in 1920.
Which everyone knows.
Yes.
And except me. And then so it was 19 games. They went 19 games without a home run in 2022. The San Francisco record in the decade that you alluded to was the 1976 Giants, who went 13 games without a home run. Now, the 1922 Giants ended up winning the World Series. The 1976 Giants did not.
Yeah.
It which is really weird. You go and look at the baseball reference data for 1976, and there's two divisions of six teams each, which is really weird to see. It's if you're not used to that, it's like, oh yeah, it's right. There were only two divisions, and it's really strange. But anyway, that is the answer to today's trivia question: 13 games for the San Francisco Giants. 19 games for the New York Giants. Looking ahead, Ben, I said this last on Thursday, but maybe the Giants can get healthy against a 3-13 Marlins team.
Maybe.
Maybe they could turn things around. Maybe they could get the offense rolling and the pitchers pitching and just roll over the Marlins, who are struggling both offensively and defensively.
Yes.
So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with a sweep in Miami. Ben,
I'm going to say, I said they're going to go 1-2 against the Rays, and that turned out to be true. I feel bad about that. So I'm going to say they're going to go 1-2. I'm going to say that they're going to go 1-. They're going to beat them Marlins. They're going to go 2-1. 2-1 against the Marlins.
One thing that I always like to do is I like to look and see what most prominent players played for both teams.
Mm.
And I think the most prominent one for the Giants would be Joe Panik, was both a Marlin and a Giant.
Joe Panik was a Marlin?
He played 53 games for them in 2021.
Wow.
For the Giants, he had a career 6.8 WAR. For the Marlins, in his 53 games, has a negative 1 WAR. Ooh, Joe. Which is probably why he only played 53 games.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of fun names on that list, though. Cody Ross, Benito Santiago, Moises Alou, Levon Hernandez, which was Levon was a much better Marlin than he was a Giant, but he was good for both, actually. All right. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today, folks. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Also, like and review us on the podcast player of your choice. It would be great if you would do that. It really does help the show. And follow us on the socials on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Threads and Instagram and Mastodon at Giant Cocktails. Except when I tweet something out, don't disagree with me. Just like it and say, yes, you're so smart. No, retweet it, whatever.
Disagree with him because he won't be able to stop himself and he'll fight with you forever.
Ben has educated me that I'm not supposed to respond to everybody that writes back. So I will do my best to only respond if you're nice. And if you're not, then I'll just ignore it.
So you got to say something insightful. The listener
I did,
doesn't.
But that's what got me
doesn't.
In trouble.
No. You can't say anything insightful. You're just like you do what you can do, and that's it. The listener needs to say something insightful, and then you will respond to it.
Correct. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Actually, I think I'm pretty fun on Twitter. Just occasionally, you know, you get some people that don't agree with you, and that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to agree, but just be nice about it.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all the time we got, Ben. It's been good chatting with you. We will see you again in 3 or 4 short days on Thursday. Until then, cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
It's 3 days, Matthew. It's 3 days.
Yeah, that's 4 from now, but 3 from tomorrow. And I just, you know, I just.
Well, we're going to record it in 3 days. So,
yeah, exactly. I got to, well, all right. Take off my socks, start counting on my toes. It's just, it gets confusing.
Yeah. When you get to 3.
I only got 2 toes, you know, I don't know.
You only got 2 toes.